Good morning. So somewhere I have a faded black and white photo of me when I was 1 or 2 years old, half squatting in the shallow water of Lake Shavehead, water up to my knees. It's unclear whether I was carefully testing my buoyancy in this formidable body of water, or whether I had other, more pressing agenda in mind. But this photo marks the start of my long and intimate connection with Lake Shavehead and Camp Friedenswald. My familiarity with this camp goes way back, but my connection to the Mennonite Church was marginal for the first 20 plus years of my life. Until not long ago, Mennonites were primarily a rural people, but I was a city boy. For the first 38 years of my life, I lived in or near Columbus, Detroit, Denver, Indianapolis, and Washington, D.C. I love big cities and feel most at home there. But thanks to my parents, I also love wide open spaces, forests, mountains. Years of camping and hiking and backpacking revealed to me the rejuvenating, the mystical, the empire-detoxifying power of wilderness. In the summer of 1981, I just finished my sophomore year at Adrian College and was looking for something a bit more adventurous than a summer job in Detroit. Friedenswald was hiring lifeguards, and despite next to no pay, I saw a lot of upsides. I had warm feelings toward this place after attending a number of family camps and kid camps. Also, it promised me a summer in which I'd be immersed in the great and spacious outdoors. And perhaps the clincher for me, it was an opportunity to connect with Mennonites, a tribe I both did and didn't belong to. The waterfront director that first summer, my boss, was a woman with two little children whose husband was in Goshen, gutting and refurbishing their house. Her name was Linda, and Linda was clear that she wasn't about to spend a summer with two little ones in a house that had no working toilet. So she packed up her kids, said goodbye to her husband, Dana, and supervised us lifeguards. Little did I know our paths would cross again a couple decades later. It was a summer I became skilled at the art of whistle twirling, water skiing behind a suffering pontoon boat, and helping young, impressionable campers experience the classic stories of the Bible in new, never-to-be-forgotten ways. For example, I recall the time we dramatized the Exodus story, but by dividing the 10-year-old campers into two groups. There were God's people, the Israelites, and Pharaoh's people. And as the latter excitedly chased the former through the proverbial Red Sea, or this flat out here, the summer staff, who were hidden, stepped out from behind the bushes and drowned all Pharaoh's followers with a relentless barrage of well-aimed water balloons. The carnage was swift and vast, just like in the Bible. I can't say for sure that it was Bible lessons like these that started the trend of young people leaving the church. But even if it was totally worth it. We were having so much fun. And then at night, when all the 10-year-old Israelites and Egyptians were tucked in their cabin bunk beds, the summer staff would hang out late into the wee hours of the morning. And it's there I learned how to play bridge. But more profound than that, it's where there was space to forge a noble and idealistic faith, an Anabaptist theology for the late 20th century, by reading and discussing all the thinkers who were pushing us beyond non-resistance to active nonviolence, from apolitical faith to one that reckoned with systems and complicity, where we rejected piety and embraced building an upside-down kingdom. Yes, I had found my people, and our dreams and visions were as vast as the star-filled sky at night. So, of course, I came back the next summer, this time with Linda's waterfront director job. Apparently, Dana got the toilet fixed. And again the next summer, immersing myself ever deeper into this place and this faith. And that's when the miracle at Camp Friedenswald happened. It was the beginning of that third summer during our staff orientation. when I learned that my waterfront assistant was a young woman from Virginia via Bluffton. A few days after being introduced, I felt the call of the Lord. Or of something. To get to know this new colleague with whom I would need to work closely. So I invited her to go sailing with me on one of the camp's sunfish sailboats. A tiny ship, but one that I had mastered by this time in my waterfront tenure. She accepted my offer. And soon I was tacking and jibbing this watercraft all over the lake, expertly navigating in the tricky wind patterns to get around the peninsula to the backside of Lake Shavehead. And that's when it happened. The act of God. The wind, which was once alive and blowing swiftly in all places, all at once disappeared. Nothing was moving. We were dead in the water. And if you don't know sailing, this is the car equivalent of running out of gas at the end of some long deserted road. Oh yes, we were stuck. And not just for 15 minutes, but for hours. There was nothing to do except talk and get to know each other, tell stories, long stories, and eventually dive into the deep waters together and pull this pitifully uncooperative boat around the lake all the way back to camp. So what does one do in the wake of such a miracle? 7 months later, we were engaged to be married. And a year and a half after that, Michelle and I celebrated our wedding right here in this very building. That was 37 years and 3 children ago. And it was a time when I would look ahead with eager anticipation of our lives together, a future doctor and a future lawyer offering our skills in some big city, any big city. Just please God, not in a small city. Ah, we were young and had so much to learn. Some days there's not a lot different between me today and that carefree 20-year-old lifeguard, except I'm less carefree, and I bear the scars of various losses and my own missteps over the years. But when I go back to the wild places, the tree-lined lakes, the forests, the peaceful woods, my spirit leaps and runs and throws an occasional water balloon. It is there that I have been shaped and formed. It is there I experience being alive. Thanks be to God.
That's a hard one to follow, Carl. It was in 1948 or 49, when I was in junior high, in Bern, Indiana, where I grew up, when my dad, Gordon M. Lichty, told us he had been asked to be on a committee to find a campsite for the Middle District Conference. This later became the Central District Conference when it merged with Central Conference from Illinois. I remember Dad going to camp committee meetings. One day in 1949, he came home and said they had found a good site on Shavehead Lake near Cassopolis, Michigan. And Deanna gave us a good sense of the history of this plot and larger. The conference then purchased this acreage, about 40 acres, for $3,500. Then I remember Dad saying that they were looking for a name for the camp. He came home one day and said the name chosen was Friedenswald, a German word that means peaceful woods. Or I remember him saying, Woods of Peace. One time, Dad took our family with him to a committee meeting that was held at the campsite. We drove the 100 plus miles through Fort Wayne, through Goshen, then finally up the rugged road to this spot on Shavehead Lake. It seemed to me it took forever to get there. They were beginning to build cabins. The first cabin completed served as the kitchen to provide meals for the workers building things here. I think we sat on the grass on the hillside up here to eat that day. I thought the cook, Carol Hooley from Topeka, Indiana, had a marvelous job. And I thought, that's what I want to be when I grow up, a cook at Camp Friedenswald. That never happened. In 1950, they built 12 cabins and two bathhouses. So by 1951, they were ready to have summer camp for high schoolers. I came as a camper that first summer, or maybe the second, or both, I can't remember for sure. That first cabin was still used as the camp kitchen, and we sat at picnic tables set up under a big tarp outside the kitchen for our meals. I don't know what we did when it rained or blew hard, but it was open on the sides. I was in a cabin of about 8 girls. Several of them were from Bluffton, Ohio. I was absolutely shocked to learn that their church, in the same larger General Conference Mennonite church as mine in Bern, allowed them to go to movies. In my church's theology, going to movies was considered sinful. Otherwise, besides that shock, oh, by the way, I think that was the very beginning of my learning that God was bigger than I thought. But it took a long time till I really got there. Besides that shock, I enjoyed the camp activities such as crafts, campfires, and music activities. I do remember having a crush on one of the handsome older high school boys. Nothing ever came of that either, thankfully. One other significant experience for me here. Later in the early 80s, when Marie Stoltzfus and I had a little business in Goshen teaching children basic computer programming, the Camp Friedenswald administration arranged with us to have computer camp for a couple of weeks. We hauled our Radio Shack TRS-80s up here and set them up in the A-frame building near the entrance road. The children who came to that camp would do lessons on the computers in the forenoons and then engage in camp activities the rest of the day. Because of my dad being on that founding committee, Camp Friedenswald has always felt special to me. And I'm thrilled that it has become such a superb facility that serves the church and community and surrounding community so well.
I'm going to start off by saying that I think Anna has a talent. I don't usually choose to speak in public very much, and she snagged me when she asked me why I liked camp. Camp Friedenswald grounds me. It offers me a space to breathe and escape from the demands of life and nourishes my soul. The relationships I've formed at camp over the years has also formed me. My relation to camp began a little later than many in my generation at First Mennonite of Bern. I wasn't a frequent youth camper, although I did participate in high school winter camps. And was described, those bus trips were quite long. And to get up the driveway in the winter was an extra challenge because sometimes the snow and the ice caused all kinds of difficulties. My life became inextricably linked to camp the summer of 87 when I served as the camp nurse. This was an internship of sorts as it was between my junior and senior year at Goshen College. It was also that summer that I was to marry my husband, Jonathan. During one of the family camps, I met for the first time some of his extended family and discovered I was marrying into a family with very close ties to camp. Jonathan's uncle, Dan Graber, served as an executive director in the early years. And once he was retired, he and his spouse, Marge, would work up here in the at camp for the summer, and they would park their Airstream not far from the volleyball courts. Tennis courts. Then when my father-in-law, Cal, Dan's youngest brother, retired, he too would volunteer here at camp regularly, often weekly. I learned that my father-in-law, Cal, helped lay the foundation of this very building. Camp Friendswald became and remains the default location of the Graber family reunion. I began attending women's retreat with a group of young women while a member of Silverwood Mennonite Church. That's before my assembly years. Many of us still gather annually to reconnect with each other. Women's retreat has provided the opportunity to develop relationships within the broader church. And then I also participated in regular scrapbook retreats for some years. And those retreats, however, were comprised of a mix of women, many of them not directly connected to Central District. And so that expanded my network of friends. When my kids were in preschool, I started volunteering as a camp nurse 1 week each summer. I was working as a school nurse, and so those open summers provided that opportunity. I would pack the kids up, and they would join me for the week. And sometimes Jonathan would come in for the evening, or he would also take some days off to help volunteer. One of the most memorable medical emergencies involved my own daughter. When a carpet ball ricocheted and hit her in the mouth while she was a spectator, she was not a camper at the time. She was just there with me. Her front two teeth were broken and required extensive dental work over the years. So that is a constant reminder of, that lives with this, about camp. Since I'm no longer in school nursing, my summers are not as available to me as they once were, so I currently serve in more of a consulting role, and I inventory and order medical supplies for summer camps every year. Not too long ago, I also served two terms on the board of directors. My first year was especially memorable as we had to replace the executive director who had resigned. I had been assigned to the personnel committee, lucky me, along with Brenda Wiebe of 8th Street Church. I remember that we were charged with hiring this new director, and that was falling to me and Brenda to figure out how to do that. So we called an emergency board meeting. We met in Fort Wayne, which is kind of partway for many of us. And we formulated a plan to recruit applicants. We got a lot more applicants than I had anticipated. But after waiting through them, a couple of them stood out. I can proudly declare that we hired Jenna Leakey Martin, and she has only surpassed our expectations during her tenure here as executive director. Camp Friendswald is hallowed ground. It is a spacious sanctuary, and it is one of the places where I feel most connected to the divine.